checking out the Bitcoin thing this week, and you know something? I don't understand it. I got to be honest. Because this week, Ireland's first Bitcoin ATM, it finally opened for business in mobile phone accessory shop GSM Solutions. It's on Dublin's Upper Abbey Street, and public interest in this virtual currency seems to be growing and growing. But before you panic and convert all your cash into this new paperless money, we've got to understand just what exactly is Bitcoin. Where did it come from, and how on earth does it actually work? Now, I'm saying, Elaine, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Elaine Burke, you're going to have to try and explain me to this one, because I hope within 15 minutes I'll know, because I'm just not getting it. Elaine Burke is a journalist with Ireland's technology news service, Silicon Republic. Now, Elaine, what exactly, first of all, is Bitcoin that everybody's going on about?
It is a cryptocurrency.
Ah, for crying out loud. Just start again, will you? I'm going to ask you again. What is Bitcoin?
it is a currency. It's electronic only. So it basically exists only as computer code.
Okay, it exists only as computer code, so it's not physical money.
Exactly.
Okay, so
you can buy Bitcoin coins, but they're novelty use. They don't actually hold the value. It's the code that holds the value.
Okay, so basically it's computer code and can be bought and sold online for hard currencies like the ones we know, like dollars and euros and all the rest of it.
Exactly, and at the moment, the exchange rate by Bitvendo, who are the runners of the first Irish Bitcoin ATM, has the exchange rate at one Bitcoin is 449 euro.
Okay, where does it come from? I mean, did somebody just decide one day, right, I'm going to invent a new virtual currency, and off they went and say, it's not monopoly, this is sort of more real?
The Genesis block that was mined, we're into technical terms now. In January 2009, but we don't actually know who created it. The name is Satoshi Nakamoto. That could be a fake name. It most likely is. Recently, Newsweek thought that they found him,
as a
64-year-old guy in California, and it seems to be not him, and they're quite embarrassed. This is the relaunch of their print issue to have this on their front page, and now they've kind of embarrassed themselves by revealing someone who's not Satoshi Nakamoto. Some people think the National Security Agency are behind it. Some people think Google are behind it. There's conspiracy theories all around. Nobody actually knows.
We do know is it's about 6 years old in terms of when we first heard of it.
Yeah, so there were 50 Bitcoins released in January 2009, and then the first transaction came from Satoshi Nakamoto to a programmer called Hal Finney, and he's obviously, because he's the first recipient, is also suspected to be Satoshi Nakamoto as well. And then by 2010, the first real-world transaction took place, which was someone bought two pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoin, because the value was so low then. Like, today value, that would be about 4.5 million euro for two pizzas.
Wow. So nobody owns Bitcoin. It's just peer-to-peer. Is that it?
Exactly, yeah. And that's the reason for its creation. Like, people want... It was quite... fueled by the economic collapse and the bailouts and things like that, and people saw this idea as being a currency that's not controlled by government, that's controlled by the people and the community that use it. And it is all based on it's a public database, it's open source, and all transactions can be tracked in a way to the Bitcoin wallet address. So there's no personal information, but everything's tracked to these wallet addresses.
And is there a finite number of Bitcoins that could ever be in circulation?
Yeah, it's been compared to gold in that way, and that's why they say Bitcoin mining as well.
All right.
Which is like mining for gold. And it's only 21 million will ever be minted.
And how many are minted at the moment?
There's about 12 million in circulation.
All right, so it can only go up about another, maybe a maximum twice as much, and that's it. What happens with things like deflation, for instance? Would that cause major problems?
It's hard to say what's going to affect Bitcoin, because people thought that the fact that its legal status has been contested in some countries, China has limited its use, Thailand has banned its use, people thought that would really affect it. It reached a peak in December last year of over $1,000, and now it's still quite high. You're talking about $500, 450 euro. Mt. Gox, one of the largest Bitcoin exchanges, suffered a cyber attack and lost 850,000 Bitcoin. That's about $450 million. People thought that would destroy it as well, but it's still quite high value. So economists vary in their predictions for us. Some think it's going to be worth nothing in a few years. Some think it'll be worth less than $10. Some think it will be worth $40,000. So no one really knows.
Okay, do you need to be incredibly tech savvy to even understand how it actually works, or could you get involved without? I mean, like, I don't know necessarily how the whole financial world works, but I mean, I still use money every day, kind of thing. So, could I get involved in this?
Definitely. I mean, for the mining side of things, you would need to be tech savvy, because the computing power behind the data that the Bitcoin mining is, you're not going to just access that through your laptop or anything like that.
Yeah.
But to actually transact in Bitcoin and like purchase through an exchange, or even go to the Bitvendo ATM and convert some real euros into Bitcoin there and then, I mean, that's very easily done.
Okay, but where can you use it?
At the moment, in Ireland, a few places do accept it, but they haven't actually seen a lot of actual transactions. So it's open for use. Not a lot of people are actually using it at the moment. I think a lot of people that are getting Bitcoin are hoarding it because of its value right now.
Yeah, didn't I see a pub in Dublin was you could buy a pint through Bitcoin or somewhere like that?
Yeah, and there's a B&B in Offaly, a Country House in Cork, a burrito bar in Bray. Get Irish Games and Irish Games Network, when they launch, they're going to accept payments in Bitcoin. There's a website called Overstock.com, which is a national major online retailer. They were in the first.
And is there much traffic in the upper Abbey Street place where the first, the GSM Solutions, the basically the first Bitcoin ATM is there?
Well, they only just opened on Thursday.
Oh, God, so they opened a couple of days.
Haven't even had a chance to drop in
myself. All right, here's a question here at 51552 from Sean in Limerick. He said, where does Bitcoin get its value?
Well, I think you'd need to talk to someone who knows more about finance about that. I understand the tech side of it, but the finance side, it's just not my strong point.
You see, the thing is, like, you know, it's not conventional currency like dollars. It comes with its own currency, because Bitcoin is two things, really. It's the currency itself, and it's the thing that we're talking about that goes peer-to-peer and that. But, I mean, you know, it has captured the imagination of a lot of people. Has it captured the imagination of two types, though? Venture capitalists and criminals.
That seems to be, certainly in the media, that's how it's profiled, as it's either the Winklevoss twins who are investing heavily.
Yeah, the Winklevoss guys from Facebook, and you'll know them from the movie The Social Network in particular, I suppose, as well. Those guys put an awful lot of money into it some time back. Now, a lot of people say that if you put money into it 6 or 8 or 9 months ago, which is some time back in tech terms, that you're now worth an awful lot. Has the return been good for them, would you think, or would you know?
I don't know what the value of what they have. I know that in April 2013, they bought up $11 million worth at that time. So whatever that value is now, they might have bought more since then. They're probably not saying how much they own. I'm sure people involved in the community probably can find it out. But I mean, Satoshi Nakamoto, people aren't even sure what he's valued at. It's all estimated.
But would you think that there'll be a lot of people who would have a reluctance to get involved in a payment network that's based on imaginary currency?
I mean, I think the fact that there's no physical element to it does throw a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But I think that's also why the community that's involved in it, the tech-savvy
types,
the early adopter types, who can, like, they can get their heads around stuff like that a bit easier than someone who's just been using physical currency their entire lives. And
Would transaction fees be a lot less? I mean, like, you know, your credit cards are 2-3% or whatever it is. We're talking nothing here.
Well, that's exactly the way they operate it. Is transactional fees are optional, and the community is so keen to encourage the use of Bitcoin that for the most part there are no transaction fees.
Yeah.
Most don't apply in it.
And you know this business
For retailers, it's great.
Yeah, for retailers, it's great. And also wiring money internationally, that's an expensive and slow business. Bitcoin isn't.
Yeah, all you need, like, you could set up a Bitcoin wallet. There's a number of ways that you can do that. And once you have a Bitcoin wallet address, that's like your Bitcoin identity. That's
okay,
like,
hold on, let's go back on this. I'm going to ask a very simple question here. And you know I'm not talking about the old things that stick in your back pocket. What's a wallet?
So it's just, in this case, it's a figurative term for this kind of like you have URLs that are web addresses. They're not going to physical locations. They're going to some location on the web. So your Bitcoin address is your Bitcoin wallet, and that's where your money's stored, and that's how your transactions are tracked as well, because that unique address that's assigned to you and you alone, all those transactions can be tracked. And that's how they prevent double spending as well. There's a database of all the transactions recorded that's powered by the community. So they, even when Mt. Gox lost those 850,000 Bitcoins, they know that none of those Bitcoins have been spent yet. and they can track that as soon as they are.
Right. What do you think is the main benefit to use Bitcoin instead of regular money? Do you have to be a certain type of person?
Well, I mean, because people are investing in it because of the value, but there's no predicting what the value is going to be in
right,
the future.
Okay, right.
But for retailers, the lack of transaction fees is definitely a plus. PayPal haven't taken it on yet as something that they'll use in payments, but I think they might change their mind in that respect because it is something that's been adopted by people that are tech savvy and that would have been early adopters of PayPal, and they're kind of pushing for online payment services like that to start.
So do you think in many ways that it's in terms of the way people do business around the world and all sorts of things, you go into a shop and you buy a product, you say, you give us a bottle of milk or whatever, or you're trading in international currencies or anything like that, that bitcoins don't necessarily replace conventional money, but should really just complement it?
Yeah, I mean, it is for online transactions, it is a really nice way to operate. It's quite secure because, as I said, the way things are tracked in the blockchain prevents fraud, prevents double spending. So I think for something that you use, not solely, but maybe for one aspect of your financial transactions, it could be very
okay, but you do say secure, but it's not without its problems. Wasn't there a case of a Bitcoin trading exchange collapsing recently with money missing from its accounts?
Yeah, that was Mt. Gox. They were Tokyo-based and they lost their 850,000. But as I said, as soon as those Bitcoins are being used, they can be tracked.
All right, so when you say 850,000, that's about $500 million, say, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about that much.
So it's a lot.
Yes.
Okay, so what...
So there was a guy in the UK had a hard drive of like 7,500 Bitcoins on it and accidentally threw it away.
By pressing a button, like a mouse, whatever, yeah?
No, it was in a landfill. He had to go and look for the physical hard drive.
Right, okay. Yeah. Oh, right, I see, I get you. Okay, the new Bitcoin ATM... how does that actually work as an ATM if it's a paperless system?
Yeah, I think the ATM concept kind of is a misnomer in this case because it kind of works like a reverse ATM. So you set up your Bitcoin wallet and that will give you a QR code, you know, those black dots on a white square kind of code things.
Yeah.
And that's your unique code for your Bitcoin wallet. And display that on your phone screen, scan it into the Bitvendo machine, and it connects to your wallet then, and then you can lodge, say, €50, and then it'll convert that to Bitcoin and assign it to your Bitcoin wallet. So you actually pay money into the machine rather than...
Right, I get you, yeah. But what about, you know, consumer protection, say? Is there a problem with consumer protection here, or are you out on your own in some ways?
Well, see, at the moment, Bitcoin doesn't... there is no legal standing of Bitcoin in Ireland at the moment because they haven't actually made a move on that. They are looking into it. Apparently, revenue commissioners are like exploring its development, tracking it, and considering maybe taxation and things like that to be applied. But in Ireland, thus far, nothing has been legally said about Bitcoin.
So would you say the one thing about Bitcoin that's good then is, like, because it's, I know, early stages and all that, that it's the world's first completely open, which isn't a bad thing, financial network?
Yeah, and that's why it was set up, and that's when it got a lot of really positive people on board. The people that are in the open source community in technology tend to be people that are about creating things that are for the better and for the greater good and for like democratic usage as well.
Yeah.
There's the worst side of it, which is its use in the dark web. The dark web would be where things like sales of firearms and weapons and drugs are taking place. There was even an assassination market set up that was trading in Bitcoin. Horrible areas like that because the only tracking is through this unique ID and not any personal information. That's why it can be used by criminals and things like that. But there is that other positive side of the community as well. And I mean, it's like with any money, really, we have black markets and real currency.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and like theft and money laundering and all that, it does open a lot of big doors for that, I would imagine. So, but the problem of creating a digital currency, this is just one pretty eloquent solution, isn't it?
Yeah, as far as I know, it's not the first time a cryptographer came up with a system like this, but this is the first working example. It's the first one that has taken off and come into use by, as far as I know, there's probably millions of people using it at this point.
All right, well then finally, as money, is it the future?
I don't think so. I think it's too volatile at the moment. We are still largely set in our ways in terms of economics and things like that. I don't know if I could see my mum taking up some Bitcoin at any time soon or even getting her head around it. But I do think that for people that are early adopters, it's a very real thing and the community is very strong. So, and the last Bitcoin isn't expected to come into circulation until 2140, so probably 100 and more years to come of it.
Wow, okay. But then again, 21 million is the end of it all, you think? 21 million, like, Bitcoins in circulation.
Yeah, but it can be divided up, I think, up to 8 decimal places, so you can get much smaller and smaller breakdowns for value.
Oh, right, I see. Okay, wow. Okay, this one will run and run, that's for sure. All right, well, listen, thanks a million, Elaine. That's Elaine Burke, journalist with Ireland's Technology News Service, Silicon Republic. Thanks very much, Elaine. Good luck. Take it easy. Now,